All right, kiddos, if y'all join me up here, come on. We want to get somebody up here to help us today, okay? No, not none of y'all. His name is Rowdy. And so if y'all will holler out, Howdy Rowdy, maybe we can get him to come up here, okay? You ready? One, two, three. Howdy Rowdy. Come on up here. This is Mr. Wade Rowden. Come on up here, man. All right, sit down right here. Do y'all know who Mr. Wade is? All right, I'm going to ask him a few questions. And Mr. Wade, do you have a family here with you today?
Yes, I do.
And who are they?
That would be my wife of 31 years and my son who's 18 in the back.
Would y'all stand up, please, Rose and Ben, one more time. Glad to have you. All right. Now, you know a little bit about baseball?
I think I do, but there may be some that don't agree with that.
And tell us where all you have played professional baseball.
All right. So Chicago White Sox was who I signed with. And then played for the Cincinnati Reds organization, the Cubs, the Pirates, and the Hiroshima Carp in Japan.
All right. Man, he's played a lot of places. But I want to ask you, what's the most important part of your life today?
Well, that would be the decision I made at 15, which was to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the second best decision I made was to serve him.
When you were in playing professional baseball, what was some of the challenges you had as living out your faith for the Lord?
Well, I would say one of those would be, first of all, you know, if you're going to stand for the Lord in any environment, sooner or later, the world's not going to agree with you. So that was always fun. And if you've ever been in baseball, there's only 25 guys in a locker room, so you're going to hear it from all fronts. And I would say the hardest thing was when it wasn't popular, was trying to still stand for the Lord on the field.
All right. Hey, guys, I want y'all to look at Mr. Wade. Mr. Wade, is there something that you could tell these kiddos? They're young kids. They're coming along. Some of them are going to be athletes. Some of them are not going to be athletes. But they're all going to hopefully live for the Lord. What can you say to them today as a parting word?
I have two thoughts, and I want you guys to listen very closely because I didn't understand all this when I was your age, and I'm not sure you'll get all of it at this moment, but it'll become clear as you get a little older. Everybody listening? Okay. Your life will depend on your choices. You'll be confronted every day with choices. And my encouragement to you, because I waited a long time to learn it, is to know God's word so that you would know God's opinion on your choices. And if you do that, according to his word, God will take care of all the rest. Okay? So you make it purpose in your heart. Learn God's word, especially now while your heart will take it. Sometimes we get older, we don't receive it as well, amen. And then that'll help you make good choices because that'll be the sum total of everything you do in life. And I hope most of all that you'll choose Jesus to save your soul, amen.
Well, let's pray together, okay? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Wade and for his family. I thank you that you came into his life those years ago. And Lord, for the blessing that he and his family have been to us here in Savannah, I pray, Lord, you'll continue to deepen and widen his ministry and his walk with you. And let all of us serve you with our lives every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank
okay, you, y'all can go to Kid Zone.
All right. Is that me too?
Yes,
all
you
right,
can go.
I can go to Kid Zone.
Thank you, Mr. Wade. All right, if you have your Bible, if you turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. When you look at Hebrews, and 11 and 12, chapter 11 is the Hall of Fame of Faith. And let's read the first few verses of chapter 11. Because today, in just a few moments, we're going to talk about running the race. Running the race. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Chapter 11, verse 1. By it, men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. And skip down to verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, the following chapter, then, chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews then goes through the hall of fame of faith. Doesn't mention everybody in the Old Testament, but it mentions a lot of them and how they served the Lord and how they trusted Him with their lives. Now skip on down to verse 39 of chapter 11. He gets to this point. He says, and all these that have gone before in the hall of fame of faith, having gained approval through their faith, they gain approval from God. How? By doing good works? By, the number of things that God has, these weights and measures, and He's waiting for our good deeds to outweigh our bad deeds, and that's how He judges us? No. What does it say in Genesis 15:6 about Abraham? It says, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So, the way we please God is the way we read it in verse 6 of chapter 11 there in Hebrews. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So all of these that you talk of, that you can read about later on, you've read this chapter before, chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith, all of them gain God's approval not because of their good deeds, but because they trusted Him. They trusted Him with their lives. And yet, they did not receive what was promised. They were putting their faith in the Lord to do things and to do more than they could see, but they couldn't see it yet. But where do we sit today? We've seen a lot. Verse 40, because God had provided something better for us so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. So in other words, here's the story. All of these people, that you go through in name after name after name, you read their stories in the Old Testament over and over again. They're depending on us, and God is depending on us to complete what they started. Now we can get into chapter 12. Look at what chapter 12 says. Therefore, on the basis of all that's gone before, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Now who's he talking about? He's talking about all those people that he just taught about in chapter 11. All those people that went before that had served the Lord and served the Lord faithfully. Yeah. Abraham and Sarah, Moses. You go down the list, the Hall of Fame. All of them, they're that cloud of witnesses. They're the ones that have gone before, and they're counting on us to complete the task, to finish out what God has called us to do. Let us also, chapter 12, verse 1, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now here's the picture. He goes to an athletic picture, an athletic illustration of a runner who is about to run a race. He is about to compete, to go out and run the race. And he's saying that runner has got to relieve himself of everything that's going to weight him down or tie him down. Any of you guys, back when you were were training, did you ever put the ankle weights on when you were running? Oh man, and you try to run with those things, and then what happened when you took them off? You felt like you could jump through the ceiling. I mean, you felt like a kangaroo. You take those things off. Here's the picture. To get that runner lean and mean and be a fighting machine and ready to run the race. That's the picture. That's the picture that he's given us in our lives. Now think about it. Think about all the things that those people saw or didn't see. But look at us. Look what we've been able to see. Look at where we sit in history today. We can look back and we can see all those promises about Jesus coming and how he was going down the cross. We can read Isaiah 53, the gospel of Isaiah, and see in detail hundreds of years what it said about Jesus in detail, what he was going to do. And then we read in the gospels how it actually happened. All those hundreds and hundreds of prophecies that we can look back and see them in detail fulfilled. That's not some preacher doing some exegetical magician's act to make things fit together. That's reading what it says and seeing that God fulfilled it in His Son Jesus. But it's not just that. We race on ahead to the last century and Israel being becoming a nation again and all of the scriptures that are being fulfilled. And then we hear the Pope yesterday. Did you hear that? The Pope yesterday saying, hey, loose paraphrase, this may be what's going on in Paris, the things around the world with some of the things that are happening with the terrorism, that we may be seeing the beginning of the last days. How about that? That's a pretty radical thing, I think, to be coming from Rome, don't you think? Even that they would recognize that. We preach that all the time here. That God is fulfilling all that. So as we read this, we're looking behind us and we're seeing all these people that went before us, and our lives are built upon Jesus, who they were looking forward to Him coming. Now we've built our lives on the one who has come and who's coming again. And their faith has become an encouragement to us. Look what he says. The race, you need to run the race that is set before you. Now this one lights me up. The race, you need to run the race that is set before you. You know what that means in Greek? It means you need to run the race that is set before you. I got it right here. But what are we like? We're like the average man watching TV. The average man with a remote in his hand does never want to see what's on TV. He wants to see what else is on TV. Think about it. Always panning the channels. But we live our lives that way, don't we? Where can I get a better deal? Oops. We're looking at our opinion about things. And what does God look at? He's saying, here is the race I have set before you. This is the one you're running. Not another race out here. American Christianity has become very adept at plugging in another race. Another race. But that's not the one God's called us to. The first question that we ought to ask is, Lord, what's your opinion about this? Would you speak to me? Would you speak to me? And so many of us are like that guy that was praying for God to deliver him, you know, from the flood. The guy comes by in the pickup truck, the boat, and the helicopter. He says, no, God said he's coming. He's sending somebody. Gets to heaven. He's dead as a hammer. He goes to heaven, and he asks, oh, well, hey, Lord, where were you? He said, man, I sent you a truck, a boat, and helicopter. What more do you want? What's God speaking to you about running the race? Instead of complaining and belly aching, and for God to say, would you like a little cheese with that wine in your life? Instead of doing that all the time, saying, embracing the fact, you know what? God has planted me right here. But most Westerners, they say, no, I want to be there. Don't we? Is that truth or not? That's part and parcel of our culture. We're not satisfied. This says you run the race that He sets before you. Look what it says in verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. There you get to the root of it. There's the root. Have I fixed my eyes on something else? And you know what? You can fix your eyes on stuff that's religious. They'll make you feel good, but it's damnable. Jesus' absolute, most terse comments, the least flattering things that he ever had to say, we're always about religious people. He called the Pharisees one time and said, you're like whited sepulchres. You're open graves for people to fall into. He's calling on us to run the race. And to run the race, you've got to fix your eye on the goal. And the goal is not your life plan that you worked out with your life coach. That's not it. Your plan is to be pleasing to Jesus. That's the plan. What would please Him with your life? The author and the perfecter, the completer of our faith. I love what this fellow read years ago, and heard him several times, where he used to say, he said, Jesus is going to be around when you wish you were. Think about it. The author and the completer of our faith, the one who is going to bring everything to a completion. Do you see right now where we are in history? Where we are in the history of the world? Where all the things, we see God just putting things together right now, and we're headed to a conclusion. The second coming of Jesus, He's coming again. It should bring us great joy. Who, for the joy set before Him, Okay, so Jesus had a target set before him too. The choice set before him. Endured the cross. Despising the shame. He made the cross, which was a shameful thing, into something that we wear with honor. Correctamundo. He changed it and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Work completed. You see, he did it. He came, the perfect Son of God, stepped out of heaven, stepped into flesh, became a man. God became a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He lived a perfect life. He submitted himself to the cross. He died alone. His Father turned his back on him. My God, why have you forsaken me? He died and was buried, and 3 days later, you sing it, up from the grave, he rose with a mighty triumph or his foes. He defeated everything that can defeat us. Sin, Satan, and death. The world, flesh, the devil have no authority over us. Today, he's calling on us to run the race, to have a singleness of purpose. Remember in high school, our basketball coach would, the only way he could get people to run track at our school was that the football coach and the basketball coach timed their spring practice to coincide with track season. And so you'd all be out there and the track team would be over here, basketball team here, football team here, and he was hoping by osmosis that there would be this synthesizing and that some of us would fall off the boat and just decide, well, I might as well run track since I'm already out here. Ran track with this guy. Best runner I've ever seen. If he could have stayed off the alcohol, I mean, his heart and lungs just had to be something from East Africa. I mean, something that just was a phenomenal thing. But he's about that tall. And he'd get out there and run. I mean, wind would be blowing. It didn't matter. You look at him and you think, this guy isn't going anywhere. We knew him. He had very little. He was on the basketball team. He had very little basketball ability. I mean, this guy, it's hard to imagine him being able to walk and chew gum at the same time. But when he got on the track out there running, somehow he would end up ahead. I mean, we had athletes. We had D1 athletes that were on that team that went on to play at D1 major colleges. They get out there running with a guy, and you look, at the end of the race, he would be ahead of them. It was amazing. It was amazing. When he passed by you, he didn't look to the right or to the left. He said nothing. He didn't talk about it. He wasn't blowing any trumpets. He just ran the race that was set before him. Now I want to ask you today, do you hear the voice of God calling you to run the race? You know, when it comes to opinions, there's only one opinion that matters. We are running the race for an audience of one. All those witnesses, they're not out here. They're under here. It's one opinion. It's one opinion. Because all of those witnesses, that cloud of witnesses, they're all submitted to Him. And He's calling on us for that kind of focus in our lives. I'm asking you, what's God saying to you today about how you're running the race? Jesus is watching. Let's bow our heads. We open the altar today, right now. We open the altar. If you have never received Jesus as your Savior, you can come today and publicly profess faith in Him. We encourage you. Myself and our other two pastors will be here to receive you today. The altar will be open for you to come and pray if you'd like to come and pray. If you'd like to get someone else to come and pray with you today, you may want to renew your faith today and say, Lord, I've been trying to run another race, and I know You're not supporting that race. I'm ready to get back on Your track today. Come, Lord, come. Thank You, Lord, for hearing our prayer today. I pray for each of us that we'll be pleasing to You in everything that we do. Lord, may we trust You today. Lord, we quoted it several times today. Without faith, it is impossible to please You. So today, we're trusting You and You alone. Come, Lord. Come. Come right now. Some of us, God, the circumstances, the evil one, the whole world system has just been busting our chops this week. Lord, we need You. We need You. Come, Lord, come. Lord, let us confess the sin in our lives that so easily entangles us and gets us off track, that weights us down. Lord, let us confess that and say, Lord, I'm coming back to You. Lord, may we be a people that's all about You and Your race. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The altar's open. Come. Look this way, if you will. You know, when we leave here today, waiting outside those doors is the master of encumbrance, the one who wants to slow you down, who wants to divert you, who wants to change the course of your race. And he's going to use sin in your life if you let Him. So let's not submit to him. Let's not submit to the evil one. Let's submit to the Lord. And all the little thing. You know, you can't stop a running man with a piece of thread. But if you put enough threads together, you can create a rope that'll stop 100 men. Now think about how the evil one works in our lives. All those little things to try to stop you, slow you down. That passage talked about joy. He wants us to live in joy as we go forth. Not this plastic, pasted on, happy, you know, kind of stuff. I'm talking about real joy from the heart. Let's live that way this week, okay? All right, I want to pray us out right now, okay? Lord, now go before us at baseball camp today. May it be pleasing to you in everything we say and do. And Lord, let the joy of the Lord rain down on Grayson Stadium today. Now Lord, send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit with the love of Jesus our Savior under the authority of God our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.